Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Ardmore Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Ardmore Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, former railway bridges, the new steam packet boat, and golf. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hi.
Ooh, that was very perky.
I just wanted to like go completely opposite to what Sam's just done.
He leant in for that, which
it was really creepy.
Yeah, it did put me off my stride. If you see, there's a slight hesitation before I announce Katie's obviously arrival into the podcast. It's because Sam had bent forward and was leaning very suggestively over the microphone.
But whilst you were talking, he was doing a little dance as well.
He does that every week. It's his
teapot dance.
It's his intro dance. Yeah, the teapot dance from Beauty and the Beast. Right, lots to get through this week, as always. Good week, Sam?
How's it been a good week? What day is it? Yeah, it's been alright.
Been alright?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Not too bad. Right, great. Katie, good week?
Yeah, can't complain.
How many weeks are you island bound now?
Too many weeks.
Too many. Have you explored the option of going to the Carver Man, or editor Richard Butt went there at the weekend?
I really want to do that.
He'd come back with a suspiciously good suntan.
Mm.
Yeah, he did. Didn't Trudy think he'd been to like the Mediterranean
in the weekend?
In the weekend, yeah.
But yeah, Carver Man. Have you ever been?
I've never been.
So maybe that's something for your
it's
next
a new
travel
destination.
Travel blog. Yeah.
Scratch that off the map.
Scratch.
I doubt it. It's going to be counted as its own place.
You never know. Have you ever been, Sam?
No.
Maybe we should do a podcast trip and we could record the podcast on the Carve.
That's not a bad idea.
We can, yeah.
With the birds.
We're running out of time though. It's only a summer season thing, isn't it? I think they go, the boats from Port St. Mary.
We could do that on a Saturday or something.
Yeah. Maybe we'll look into it. We'll get producer Emma to look into the logistics.
We could just put some seagulls up and pretend.
Sound effects.
Yeah, I just sit here and go.
There's loads of super aggressive seagulls up by my house and they ride each other. Like, not in a weird sexual way,
like something out of Mad Max.
It's horrible. It is like a seagull.
Have they got, like,
Mad Max?
A dead one and they've fashioned it into some sort of...
Zombie?
No.
Glider.
Vehicle.
No, it was a live one and it was carrying the other one round as they, like, kept watch over this rooftop.
And
there was two witnesses. It was me. I wasn't on my own. Someone else witnessed this and we watched and we were like...
Had a gin?
No, it was daytime, so I hadn't drank yet. So, but it was one of those things of, there was another eyewitness.
I would say, there's a tremendous piece in this week's Iron Life section, which is in the Art Max Independent, about the, I didn't know this was a group, it's called Vanin, no, not Vanin, it's some, the Agra, what's the, you know, when you talk about spiders, Agra...
Well, is this Spiders of Man?
Yes.
I'm part on Facebook.
Yes, yeah. And they're looking for sightings of Daddy Longlegs at the moment. They're doing a survey on how widespread they are. Did you know, fact fans, there are three or four different varieties of spiders that are known as a daddy longlegs?
Oh, right.
Sam's nodding.
I'm in the group, and now I'm like, don't kill spiders when I find them. I try and get a more humane way of getting them out of the house.
If you find a daddy longlegs at home, they want you to take a picture,
mm.
say where it was, because they want to find out what their favourite environment is. Was it cupboard, in your sock drawer? You know, take your pick.
I would. Freak out if it was in my sock drawer.
And then send it into this Facebook group, which you've already mentioned, and they're doing a sort of chart of how many daddy long legs or we've got in the Isle of Man. But the reason I bring that up is because it was part of a wider article on the Manx Wildlife Trust, and maybe you should email them or about your seagulls.
They are getting very...
Is one of them pink?
No. Your classic seagull colouring, but just very bizarre behaviour.
I think we've stumbled across a new story for you.
Like, I want to say, like, dominant surveillance behaviour.
Is there a Netflix documentary in it?
Very Netflix documentary, yeah. Like, up next.
Dominant surveillance.
Seagulls of Douglas. you sounded like you wanted to chip in at some point there.
I was just thinking of Daddy Longlegs, because, like...
There should be some here, somewhere.
Well, I was just looking around, but I can't see any. But then, like...
Because they're known as the cellar spider. Wine cellar spider, sorry.
Well,
not to be confused
so they
with
live in
the
cellars.
My favourite shop.
So they live in like basements and that.
Yeah.
And you see, that's interesting. So my girlfriend lives in a basement flat and she's got daddy long legs all the time. There's
Take
always
pictures
ones.
Of them, put them on the group.
I'm too busy hiding from them.
I live in like an annex and we often get a lot of daddy long legs there.
T- take pictures of them.
I will now, I will stop.
So there's more on that in this week's Manx Independent.
Who was the witness to the seagull? It wasn't Mrs. Kitchener, or Mr. Kitchener at very least. I'm not accepting it happened.
It was...
Hi.
It wasn't either of them, but there was a witness.
Right. Just get your phones out. Get a picture.
I might have been on a Zoom call with work, actually. But the way... So it was from home when we were during lockdown, and the way the computer was positioned, it meant I could look outside the window and see like the local cats and dogs having their walks and things.
I'm upset.
Never mind the rest of this podcast. I want to hear more about this.
You didn't disrupt the Zoom call to tell us about this. As we were, we pride ourselves of being the Isle of Man's premier news provider, and stuff like this
hard hitting news.
Yeah, is what we need.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got a photo.
That'll be going on.
Right, it's going on our socials.
I definitely did take one photo. It's not the best photo, but there is evidence of it.
Right, that's going to be on IOM News Podcast later on Twitter and Instagram. So if that doesn't want to make you check out our social media, I don't know what.
It wasn't sexual though. Just
to clarify for those of you at home that might want to show your children this picture.
There's a title for a podcast.
Right, moving on to this week's first news story. Sam, now you've put railway footpaths because there's been a lot of stuff about that this week in the papers, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got the good, the bad, and the hedge cuttings. Well, that kind of worked.
Sort of.
Not at all.
Yeah, anyway. Maybe. Yeah.
So, in the Examiner this week, first of all, we had Adrian's story about, so they're saying that the footpaths have become like a haven for wildlife since the old railway lines have become like footpaths down the years. So they become really good for like nests and birds, and apparently the banks are blooming with rare orchids.
Oh.
Which sounds lovely. So the DIY have been going along, and they'd started cutting these back a little bit to help clear a way to...
Yeah, because they're trying to make them into active travel routes, aren't they? So you can take your bike out, go for a walk, run, etc.
Or your horse.
Or your horse. I always forget the horses.
I don't know why. You know, everyone's saying that places need bike shelters, you know, places to lock up.
Horse shelters,
exactly.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah.
A stable on every office block.
Maybe a hay allowance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Manx Wildlife Trust got involved, and they said, look, you can't do this, really important wildlife here. Graham Makepeace Warner, who's big chief, that's his official title, big chief. So they've been in contact with DOI and said about, like, you know, you can't be doing this because like it's a bad time for birds because there's still a lot of little birds because it's not long past nesting season. And they said about, you know, can we do like a survey and we can work out what's what in each area and what impact it'll have. And they've agreed to it. So they've put this back a little bit and given a bit of time to allow a proper survey to be done in these areas, because while, you know, the trains haven't been running for like 60 odd years, they have become, you know, animals and plants almost have adapted to them, become really sort of quite at home there. But interestingly enough, part of the DIY's plan was to have it as somewhere where wildlife can flourish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a, they've sort of...
They're trying to help one thing,
yeah.
And then, but maybe hindering another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we had a bit of good news.
Yeah.
Regarding the old lines. So
exciting news, I'd go as far as
exciting, I'd say, yes. In The Independent, we got these pictures late on Wednesday afternoon, which are mock-ups of how the new bridges are going to look at Glen Willan.
Yes, and people that don't know, they're going to reinstate the bridge, the old railway bridges, aren't they?
Yeah, so as you go across, producer Emma, by the way, loves this. She's nodding in the corner like one of them little China dolls.
She's printed off the picture of the Glen Willan Bridge.
It was actually one of the first things she mentioned to me this morning when she got into work was how excited she is for the bridges.
So she knows she probably had a picture of her husband Tim on her phone. Now it's a picture of the Glen Willan Bridge.
Yeah. It's her and the picture of the bridge. She superimposed it.
And the cat.
Her and the cat on the bridge. Yeah.
That's like the dream. Weekend just to go yurting on the bridge with the cat.
With Tim maybe there.
Yeah. Well, someone has to, I don't know, stand guard.
Yeah.
And protect Cersei.
Yeah.
They've presented these pictures and it's going to be across Glen Willan, which is just outside Kirkmichael.
Yeah.
And that's going to form a major part of this. The problem they've got further north of Kirkmichael is parts of the line were sold off and that, so they're looking at what they can do further north. But it'll mean that basically from... effectively the quarter bridge all the way to Kirkmichael, there'll be a route and the same all the way up to Peel.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic, isn't it?
So yeah, you'll be able to cycle and walk and run and
horse ride.
They've also determined, so a big part of this as well is that they're hopefully they should be wheelchair accessible. I know there's been a bit of a thing about that though, because when they put on the heritage line out to Peel, there's a bit by Crosby where it's not. So it's going to be compacted stone, and it isn't. And I know people who have said about that before, so I don't know exactly what's happening with that. But we'll have to see as we move on. But I think it's a good idea, you know, basically. It's about £1.3 million it's going to cost. It's going to get underway later this year. it's sort of one of them that, yeah, they kind of have to push people to do this. I know people are going to hate it, but I think it's a relatively good idea. It's using something which at the minute is just doing nothing.
Well, it fits in with the active travel policy, which we seem to be getting told about a lot at the moment, encouraged to do. So, yeah, I think on the whole it's a good idea. Obviously, they have to be sensitive to the wildlife in the area, and it seems like that is something they've come... a bridge they've come across this week. Mm. Pardon the pun. All right, so that was all in the Indie and Examiner this week, so please do click on iwentoday.co.im/subscribe.cfm, and then you can get a digital copy of that for your phone, for your tablet, for your laptop, of each of those papers, for only £1 each, aren't they? Which is
£1 bargain.
Absolute bargain. And of course, they're still in the newsagents as we speak. Right, moving on to this week's next story, we talk about... this one was very popular online when we put it online at the weekend, Sam. It's about the Steam Packet's proposed new vessel. Now, what we found out last week, the Steam Packet have signed an agreement with a ship company in South Korea. I believe it's one of the... is it Hyundai? Part of the Hyundai group? Yeah. Which obviously make cars, among many other things. I think the hope to start construction next spring, mm-hmm. for it to be completed in 2023, if my memory's correct from last week's story.
Yeah.
And then basically it'll come in as a replacement for the Ben McCree, although dun, 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 the Ben McCree will be retained in the fleet for use as a freight vessel, in effect, won't it?
Yeah, in the same way the Arrow is now, essentially. The Arrow will be wandering off back out to sea.
Yeah.
And the Ben will take over that role and be available for charter and other such things as well. But this is due to come in, like you say, in 2023, which will mean it'll be the flagship vessel in time for what'll be the 200th anniversary in 2030, mm-hmm. which I know is 10 years down the road, but you got to, you know, you start looking at these things and it's would be a lot closer than you think. And also on top of that, actually, this is only the first vessel they've been announced now, because under... so when the We the People bought the Steam Packet. Alf Cannon, the Treasury Minister, negotiated that last 2 years ago.
Yeah, maybe even longer, yeah.
Well, I think it was 2018. So anyway, that was all done. And then he... so part of the agreement that they did for the Steam Packet about the... called it the Sea Services Agreement, which is the replacement for the Linkspan Agreement, is that it'll include two new vessels. So this is the first one, which would be a replacement for the Ben McCree. The other one is to replace Manannan.
Right.
But they don't know exactly how what form that's going to take, because there's still a debate about whether you want a fast craft or whether they want two things. That's going to be a few years down the line, yeah, but it does mean that within the next 10 years there will be, well, there really should be, two new vessels serving the island.
Anything else? It was very sort of just a, this is the initial kickstart.
Yeah, I mean, there was a big survey done a little while ago, which I believe is sort of one of them ones where people get very... I don't think wound up is the right thing. People do get wound up at the Steam Packet, but also they get very passionate about it, and it's something that drives a lot of emotion, both in terms of people who've paid too much to take a car and two people, and other people who say the breakfasts are wonderful and that they get a fantastic deal every time they go to Liverpool. It really is a sort of
polarizes people.
Yeah, and this has been one where we've had the usual brilliant comments from our avid readers online, which range from interesting names that they're suggesting, such as Howie of the High Seas.
Yep.
Named after, of course, our chief... well, it could be after the Chief Minister Howard Quayle, or it could be after Howard Quayle, who did the feature of Dave about the history of the Steam Packet. We don't know.
We don't know
either.
Yeah.
The other one was something about David Ash, but it was Ash on the Water or something like that was one of them. There was all sorts of sort of, just like these brilliant names based around... there was another one was like COVID of the Sea or something. There was loads of these sorts of names floating around. And
our intrepid photographer Dave Neal has taken over the mantle of Vox Pops, which our beloved Jess used to do, where you go out and ask the people about their opinions. Now he's doing the Steam Packet this week. So if you do see him about Strand Street or wherever he's going to do it this week, I think you may say we're going far north as Ramsey to do it this week, do give a bit of time to him if you can. But his question he's going to be asking the great Manx public is... What would you call it? And B, what would you like to see in it, as in features of it? So, Katie, I'm going to ask you that question. What would you like? What would make you get the boat more than you do now? Would you like to see a bigger cinema, for say, or even a better sort of canteen sort of layout?
Just the seating. I hate the way, like, it's those rows of, like, four seats that you can't move. And if you're travelling with a big group of people, it's impossible to speak to each other. Like, no one sits in a line to talk to each other. So, just, I don't know, like, I just... better layout and more place, like, just to walk. You're on the boat for quite a while, so you want it to be quite a comfortable journey, especially if you do suffer on the seas. You want to be able to relax. And
I think they have said, Sam, isn't it going to increase seating capacity?
Yeah, there was a talk about what they I mean, this was still, this came out of when they did the survey a few months ago now, which is the plan of perhaps looking at more sort of, you know, like at the minute, the Ben's got a slightly, obviously, different layout to the thing, but it's got how, it's got like that cafeteria area, and then it's got tables in front of it.
Yeah.
And then you've got, what do they call the bars? Like Legends Bar or something like they call it. But so you've got that as well, which is a slightly different layout, but it's still chairs with the giant bench sort of seating. So from what I gathered, they were looking at doing two sort of separate areas like that. So say one area could be like more like a cafeteria sort of thing, and then one area could be more like a bar, which you can sort of be a bit more flexible with.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be what people are saying about, like, you know, especially, I suppose if you go, the Mananan's just the sort of same really, isn't it? If you go on the Mananan and come back on a Saturday night after, like, Liverpool or Everton have been playing at home, and you see the big group of fellas who are all sat awkwardly at weird angles on tables.
Yeah.
Then you get that sort of thing. So, it'll be one of them. We'll see what it comes down to. One of the more bizarre things that people were going off about was the outside deck space.
It looked to me that it had, well, the Ben McCree has got quite
it's got three decks.
Generous,
yeah.
I think. The very top is essentially just an open space, isn't it? And you've got those screens that look always really mucky because obviously all the sea spray and stuff. And I think this one was more aligned to what the Mananan, it was sort of at the back, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But there was maybe two or three tiers of it.
To be a weird sort of thing that people were saying about how they won't be able to see forward anymore.
Yeah.
Which apparently people really enjoy. So, but again, you know, we've only seen a mock-up You know, it's one of these that they could easily stick something down the side of, you know, well, that'll be determined as we go forward. But it was remarkable that that was one of the things alongside the name that really was agitating people.
Okay, any suggestions for names?
No. Well, it's going to be something Manx, isn't it?
I think they should put it to a public vote. And we were talking maybe the Hector Duff.
I love that.
Or the James Brown. We talked about him last week.
Yeah.
Maybe, or what was the lady that the nurse that you did, Brennan, that you did the Yesa training on a few weeks ago during lockdown?
Nellie Brennan.
I was thinking of the doctor. She was called Dorothy Dot, wasn't she?
Yeah, but, you know, someone...
Dot Tilbury.
But I think maybe name it after someone that's... Because otherwise, you know, if you're going to go down the traditional route, it's probably going to be the Mona's Queen 97 or the Timwald 8 or, you know...
Yeah, and I mean, they sort of... They have the tradition thing, but I think... The current one is the first Mananan. Obviously, there's been many Ben McCrees and Mona's Queens. I think this is the first Mananan they ever had, the Sea Cat one.
Mm.
So maybe look at something like that. You know, stick with the Manx tradition, but look forward. But I think there could be that thing that they will slip into using something like Mona's Isle, a very traditional name, especially with it being the new flagship moving forward.
And for the anniversary year as well.
I mean, you know, they could call it Ben McCree and give the Ben McCree a new name. Who knows?
Exciting times. So if you want to see a picture of that, that was in the Examiner this week, and it's on our socials, which is at IOM Newspapers.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
This week's sports story revolves around the Isle of Man Golf Championships, which came to a gripping conclusion at Castletown Golf Links on Sunday. And the men's and women's championships both came to their end on Sunday afternoon / evening. John Cork won the men's title for the second time. He won it, of course, in 2008, I think was the first time he won it. And then Leah Dawson of the Dawson dynasty out there from Peel, she won the women's title. I think that was her first Ireland title. There has been tons of sports coverage from the championships in this week's papers. There was three pages in the Examiner, including some cracking pictures from golfer / photographer Paul Lowry, who was himself in the tournament till the latter stages, and he put some great pictures. And then there was more in the Manx Independent, which, as I've said before, both of them are still available online and, of course, in the newsagents as we speak.
Also, can I just say, if you do want to have a physical copy of the paper, because you've been in it, but you've missed it at the newsagents, if you give us a ring, we sell copies that we can send out.
Fantastic. So maybe if you are in the golf championship and there's a lovely picture, one of Paul's lovely pictures of you, you think, oh, that'd be nice, a nice keepsake.
Yeah.
Get in touch with Katie and she'll send one in the post for you.
Snail mail.
Old school. Right, this week in history, we go back to the heady summer of 1954 and the August 13th edition of the Isle of Man Examiner, Sam. There is tons of stuff on this front page. I don't really know where to start. The picture involves the Williston Mansion House, which is to be converted to a hotel and social centre to serve the estate. Now, we're talking about the...
The manor.
which at the moment, unfortunately, is still shut.
Yeah, I think it's one of the few Heron and Brewery pubs that hasn't sort of re-emerged from lockdown, I think.
So O'Donnell's still closed?
O'Donnell's is gone, I think.
Yeah. Forever and ever.
Mm-mm.
Forever and ever.
Wilson Mansion House, yeah, became the manor, and yeah, it hasn't come back from lockdown yet, which is sad, but it's interesting though, just, you know, the whole thing of how they're talking about it, that the layout of the grounds will provide construction of a bowling green, tennis court and car park. Well, they got the car park. Don't think they ever got a bowling green, did they, in Wilson?
No, I don't either. I think they're obviously, Nobles Park is only a sort of hop, skip and a jump away, and there's a bowls greens are plenty in there, so maybe they thought.
What I do think is quite interesting is about how there's debate about Willesden and Paul Rose.
Right.
So they say about how Paul Rose was a larger estate than Willesden, which now I don't know if it is. It probably is actually just
still
probably,
yeah.
Yeah, because Willesden's sort of grown a bit back since then, hasn't it?
And you've got Conkerberry merges in the top, and that's privately owned. So.
So you have this thing about how they said that Paul Rose didn't have its own pub. Of course, now Poor Rose does. It has the Pinewood, which is run by not volunteers,
there's an association
who took it over after it was closed. So maybe that could be the future for the manor. You never know with these things, do you?
Yeah, it's a good point. And it has become a community hub, which it sounds like when this was first planned, it was meant to be. You know, obviously, the manor was quite a popular pub in Willesden. And your dad, even though he resides in the great estate of Onken, used to be often in the manor, didn't he?
Yeah, he takes his passport out on a Sunday night, gets the bus down, and leaves the parish.
So is he still going? You still tell your mum the manor's open?
No, they go. Him and his friends go with the cat or the Archie at the minute.
Right.
But they miss the manor.
They're displaced.
They have been, yeah. Well, especially because all of his friends, they've all reached a certain age.
Right.
And they've all sort of relocated from where they used to live, down by Willesden Crescent, up towards the manor. So they're all in bungalows within like 200 yards of it. And now they've got to walk to the bus stop, so they're most put out.
I can imagine. There was a big story, the main story seems about the disgrace of the Douglas swimming baths and the conditions which badly need attention.
Yeah, this was the Victoria Street Baths. I don't know anything about these, to be honest.
Well, it's saying that rival resorts such as Blackpool, Southport, Morecambe and New Brighton have excellent outdoor and indoor swimming baths, some of them the most up-to-date in Britain. Douglas, however, also has a public swimming bath, the wheeziest, weariest, old age pensioner of pools.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's quite the description of it. Yeah.
But it's just this thing about it, it says from the patron of the antiquated Victoria Street Baths. I don't know where that was. I don't know where on Victoria Street, you know, it was sort of thing, but
I think it was sort of down maybe where Lloyd's building is, but I'm probably very wrong there, to be honest. We should have asked the Oracle. Well, of course, this front page will feature in next week's Alaman Examiner with some commentary from the Oracle of all things, Mr. John Watson, so I'm sure there will be an explanation of where the baths were.
The end of that coverage was, if such action is not taken soon, which is to rebuild them, the premises may one day shame the honoured name of their distinguished founder, Henry Bloom Noble.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But there was also a lovely bit underneath that about a man who turned 92, Richard Kane, who was described as the island's grand old man.
Oh, yeah, I saw that at 92, which is, you know, and I loved the way it said he was still in good health,
yeah,
and brimming with zest for life.
I think there's the myxomatosis thing about this being started deliberately.
It's very sad because the headline is brilliant, but then it's obviously a very sad disease for rabbits.
Yeah, but I think by far the most bizarre thing on the whole page, and I know myxomatosis is dreadful, but it's the Governor Act as an actor.
What?
So it was the Governor and Lady... Ooh, I can't quite pronounce that.
Yeah, there's a smudge. Dundas?
Yeah. Have agreed to take part in a reenactment in the opening of the Laxey Wheel during the Wheel Centenary celebrations on September 27th. So they were playing the roles of
The governor
who opened Laxey Wheel.
Well, not really a stretch then, is it?
No, but it's just...
It's not in Hollyoaks, is it? Do you know what I mean?
It's not in Hollyoaks. But it's just a bit of a weird... It's just like the weird sort of way they've gone, the governor, right, actor, that's what he is, I'm telling you.
Two more things before we move on to the most excellent yes of training. Did you see the story about your weight worry may not be true?
Mm.
And that there was a story about public weighing machines in Douglas may not be 100% accurate. So saying people not to worry if it looks like they've put on weight or in some cases lost weight quite drastically.
Yeah, I love the fact that the examiner reporter when and he weighed 12 stone 4 according to the weight at one side. And when he went further down the road, he dwindled down to he dwindled away to 10 stone within 200 yards. That's a hell of a walk he put in.
Yeah, that's the sort of scales I'd like to get on. The other thing, we talked about the governor. Did you see the picture at the bottom of the page? It was action pictures taken at the Light Horse Show at Government House on Wednesday. So that they used to have horse shows in the gardens of Government House, which is quite impressive, isn't it?
Valerie Almond on Lemon Shandy. Lemon Shandy, that's a lovely name for a horse.
You definitely put a quid on that.
Yeah, you're going a pound each way on Lemon Shandy.
You are. Any adverts catch your eye, Katie, before we move on?
I do like the one which is like, quality, excellent. Quantity, maximum. Prices, right. I don't know what it's actually talking about, but I like that.
It doesn't actually say, does it? Is it something to do with...
I think they're selling paper.
And it's from the Examiner's shops. So it may be an extension of the Alman Examiner. They flogged off paper.
Yeah.
Which actually does make sense. Yeah.
Sell it.
There's the usual Hoto Sefton, top left, isn't it?
Top left, yeah.
There's a Lindsay's Sale. Do you want a bargain? Question mark. You will get it. Quite sinister. At Lindsay's Sale. Yeah. Footwear, clothing, raincoats, Quine's Corner.
That does sound like the 1950s equivalent of... Do you want Sam?
There's also, of course, Lions and a Hire and Drive advert.
Did you see this heartwarming story, though, of the dog that was rescued?
No.
Sir Joseph to the rescue. It says, Castletown Harbour on Monday morning was the scene of a dog rescue before a large crowd, thrown into the harbour, probably by children, with an inflated rubber ring around its neck. The animal, hampered by the ring, was unable to use its four legs to swim. So it's taken a very tragic turn of these children possibly about to drown this dog. But it eventually was rescued, and it said it didn't stop to thank its rescuers when let loose minus the rubber ring. The happy ending.
Wow. All that needed was a picture of the dog, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or an artist's impression. That would have been done, wouldn't it?
That was a Speaker of the House of Keys who rescued it.
Was it?
It says Sir Joseph Quatro, CBE, SHK, which is Speaker of the House of Keys, JP.
Well, that the House of Keys was still in Castletown at that point?
No, they'd moved by then.
Moved by then. Mm-hmm. So that was the Alman Examiner front page of Friday, August 13th, 1954. As I said before, it will be in the Examiner on Tuesday in all its glory. We've only really scratched the surface. There's so many stories on that front page. Please do have a look out for that one. Katie, yes to training. Now, you've kept this vague just to tantalise us. All we've got in the script is Matthew Halsall.
Yes.
He wasn't the guy that used to present Stars in Your Eyes, was it?
No. Matthew Kelly.
Matthew Kelly. And you, it was a Manx name.
Very much not related, I don't think, in the story. But, no. Okay, so we all know that the Isle of Man has a lot of myths and legends and some just really weird, bizarre stories. So bear in mind with this story that it could be very much myth as much as fact. So... Just remember that going forward. Sam's given me an eye here. Like, no, 100% fact.
I'm not.
Not the eye. An eye.
Mrs. Kitchen, I would never do such a thing.
Okay, so Mr. Halsall died in 1854. That's kind of where it begins. It basically starts that he may have committed suicide. Out of nowhere, he killed himself, and usually no Christian burial would be allowed because of eternal damnation. That form of death.
Yes.
However, this man was, you know, granted a proper burial. I don't know why. Like you do with all good send-offs, you have to get drunk, say goodbye properly to the body. So, as a wake was in full swing, the story goes that the body of Mr. Halsall began to make some noises. So, people who were there drinking, celebrating his life, said that groans started coming from his body. So, the groans are coming from the body and people are beginning to think... Is this man alive? Are we about to bury a living man in a coffin? So they go, they open the coffin, and Mr. Halsall is inside, completely dead still. So you hear these groans and you think, a situation like this, the only reasonable response is that Mr. Halsall is a vampire. And so they fashion a wooden stake and put it through his heart before they bury him.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So his grave, which is in the parish of Malou, it's quite the sight. He's buried under a heavy, heavy slab of slate. The grave is surrounded by metal chains and iron spikes. And then to add to the spookiness of all this, their iron stakes and chains were removed at one stage, and people claimed that they saw Halsall roaming the graveyard at night.
Wowzers.
Yeah. So naturally, you know, you've heard this man, who is a supposed vampire, has been roaming the churchyard at night. So your concerns will be like, he's going to come for me and my family. Okay. So then, according to legend, they dug the grave up again, restaked him, and then put back on the slate, the slabs, the iron, the stakes, everything, put it back there. And that's the way it looks today, if you go and see it.
So that's in Maloo Church Graveyard?
That's in Maloo Graveyard. Okay, wow. So a few things to take into account. One, some people will say that chains and spikes around a grave were not uncommon, and it's only during the war that most graves actually lost the chains and spikes around a grave, because obviously collecting for the war effort. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that slabs would often be there to stop cattle digging up graves and scuffing up the ground. Because you're talking not like a tombstone, like a slab on the grass.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Matthew Halsall's wife is noted as being buried there too. So that might explain why the slab and the things disappeared at one stage. And also, I think his name is misspelt on the grave as Hassel, but she's Mrs. Halsall. So we've just gone with Halsall for this. But I think anyone saying that is just an unbeliever of vampires.
What do you think, Sam?
Well, there's one in Uncan that's got chains, which has always been said to be a vampire, so I'm willing to believe it.
So do you think there was this enclave of vampires in the Isle of Man?
Yeah.
Right. Why not?
I've seen what we do in the shadows.
Yeah. I thought they had eternal life.
No, if you staked them, they can't come back from that.
No, why did he die in the first place?
They said he committed suicide very much out of the blue, very unexpected.
Of course you did say that.
Yeah, it was a night time when they were celebrating his life and drinking when they heard the noises coming
was
from
there
the coffin.
A gentleman with an Austrian accent called Van Helsing on the Isle of Man at the time.
We should check the Dutch.
Was he Dutch? Was he Dutch? I thought he was
Dutch.
Yeah, maybe
staying at the Castle Mona.
Wow, so that's Matthew Halsall.
If you need something to do with the kids in the summer holidays,
take them to
a graveyard.
Scare the living poop out of them, saying that this is the site of where there was a Manx, or possibly the site of a Manx vampire. That's very interesting, as always. Sam, did you say you've done an article on that quite recently?
I did something on that a while ago. I don't know what it was.
Was he dug up again?
We were just looking at something of church in South Yarmouth. I mean, Adrian did it.
There's so many famous sites and graveyards around the Isle of Man there.
We could talk
so much about that.
Maybe we could do a vampire tour. If you know of any vampire graves on the Isle of Man, please do get in touch at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, maybe with a picture. We could add that to our database.
Our collage of graves.
Our collage of graves, which would look lovely on a wall. Right, that's about it for this week. Sam, I know there's some exciting stuff coming at the Examiner, including a story about a horse, isn't there?
Yeah, this is just...
You described it the other day as the perfect court story.
I did, and it is. It's magic.
We don't want to give too much away, do we?
No, I don't want to say anything really about it, except for you've got to read the Examiner next week.
Because it is true. An amazing story.
Yeah, it's astounding, really.
Astounding story. Anything else we should be looking out for next week?
Loads of stuff. There's developments on Douglas High Street. We'll be seeing what's happening with that. There'll be another follow-up on Laxey's sewage, of course, because it got thrown out. Not the sewage, but... Well, technically it does. It gets thrown out to sea.
Yeah. I'm excited to... From sitting in your editorial meeting this morning, I'm excited to read about what Dave Neal is writing about the upcoming A-level results and what that could mean for...
So this is for next week's Independent. So next week's paper comes out on Thursday, and it's about what happens next for this year's students. So obviously they get the results this next week, and it's then what's the next step? Are they going to go to university and do everything remotely, or are they going to take a year out? Because obviously they can't have a gap year.
How are you going to travel?
How are you going to travel if they stay here? What's their prospect? So it is a very big, broad subject, but Dave Neal's working on a feature on that, so that'll be in next week's Independent. Anything else we should flag up, I think, before we go?
Oh, it's the last Douglas Council sitting of the summer.
Oh, that's exciting.
That'll be back
next Wednesday?
Yep.
So
maybe Indy, probably Courier,
We'll tease them. Just keep across us on all platforms, and you'll see it eventually. Right, that's about it for this week. Until next week.
Bye for now.